Today's scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 to 15. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belt. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, church. So every day I work at church, except Monday. And I always look forward to Sunday, that I can come and meet all the people. Sunday has been the day I look forward to since I became a Christian when I was in first year engineering. So it is also always a day that that I treasure. It's nothing better than seeing everybody at church. So this morning I'm going to share with you a topic: ambassador for Christ. When I was working in the business world, and sometimes I represent the company, my company, to go out to have business negotiations, go to visit plants, technology transfer, buying stuff. So when I go out, I will serve as a company rep. So usually as a company rep, we treat them really well. And if you represent a country, you go out to another country, then you will be a ambassador. And if you represent the United Nations, then you'll be the secretary of United Nations. But nowadays, even the secretary of United Nations is not being treated very well in Europe. People will still throw bombs at you. And if you represent the king, so just out of curiosity, so I search if you represent the king in the older days, so what would be your title? Right? I know what's in Chinese, but what's in English? So I look up, actually in 15th century, the king has special messengers. The first one was actually called John Norman. That's not me. They have a special title, it's the king's messenger. And it's a very selected group of people, they will be the messenger for the king. And that carry on until today, only that in the more recent years, slowly faded. So actually, even nowadays, they carry a special passport. It's called the queen's messenger. This was paused, stopped issuing after 2014. And actually, there is such a job as the queen's messenger, and they have the same privilege as an ambassador, so their luggage cannot be checked when they go through the borders. And their job is to carry special message for the queen, in this case, and in the 15th century for the king. And they have a special job, and no one can question what they are carrying. And they have a very important message from, directly from the queen. So today, we look at Matthew 10, and Jesus is sending out the 12 messengers, the ambassador for Christ, or a messenger for Christ. And only 12 selected. These are the 12 disciples, apostles, the closest people to Jesus. And when you heard the reading, you may find it a bit strange. Now we are talking about bringing the gospel to the ends of the world, to all nations. But here Jesus told them, don't go to other people, only go to your own people. So we have to read this in its context. We call the Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, the Great Commission. So I make this up, I call this the small commission, the little commission, or the first commission. The first commission is Jesus commissioned the 12 disciples to go out to reach to his own people first. And then later on, you go out to reach to the other people. So don't get it mixed up. So this is the minor little commission, and then later on the Great Commission. So we do have to a job to reach out to our own people. If you have taken Kairos, which I encourage all of you to take Kairos, ETI interface, just to prepare yourself, then you know that there's the so-called E1, E2, E3. E1 is reaching out to your own people. Your case may be Canadian-born Chinese, because it's much more effective to reach to your own people first. Then you go out to the E2, E3, to the other cultures. So Jesus here sent the 12. Jesus sent out after instructing them, giving them instruction. The word send here, the Greek is apostolos. Apostolo, you can tell, is the English word later on, apostles. So the word apostles came from this word sent. So apostle just meaning being sent by Jesus. So we are all apostles today because we are all being sent by Jesus. So sent here has the meaning of a delegate, messenger. So I should have changed the topic of my sermon to Christ's messenger. And make a little passport there, like the Queen's messenger, Christ's messenger, apostles. One sent forth with orders. Not a light task, like a messenger sending out by the Queen. The Queen's messenger has a special authority. It's not because of the messenger, but because of the one who sent the messenger, the Queen, the King, Christ himself. Jesus did not send anybody. His first commission, if you want to call it the little minor commission, he only sent the 12 disciples of him. And these 12 disciples has been closely learning from him, live with him, eat with him, pray with him, a very intimate relationship with him. Jesus only sent people who are close to him, who are prepared, equipped. Today, if you wonder how come God doesn't use you, maybe you need to work a bit more on being close to Jesus. Jesus knows these people, these 12 people, and he has been with them, have fellowship with them. So he only sent these 12 as the first commission. And later on today, he's sending all of us the Great Commission. What's the message? Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, like what John the Baptist was proclaiming. You preach, you proclaim, you herald. The word preach is herald. As you go, preach, not just whisper or talk about it. We as Canadians, we are very polite people. We always like to say sorry. We're sorry on anything. We want to be politically correct. We don't want to offend people. You know, religious and politics is a topic that we can easily, I've been taught when I was young, they're not that two subjects that you should avoid talking at work, politics and religion. We don't like to share the gospel with our colleagues, schoolmates, classmates, because it may offend people. But here, Jesus told the disciple, you go and proclaim, herald, announce, just like what John the Baptist was saying. I'm not saying that now after this service, you all go down to downtown, standing at the Robson Square, and start proclaiming, shouting, no, the kingdom is here. I don't mean that. But don't be shy. You'll be surprised if you share the gospel to your schoolmates. You may surprise how they respond. So the purpose of the church is not just for us to have a good fellowship. Looking forward to coming here on Sunday, having barbecue. Actually, in July, we're going to organize a barbecue on July the 10th, if I remember the days correct. The Sunday after Canada Day, we're going to organize a barbecue in the parking lot here. So the announcement will come after the worship. So the purpose of the church is not only we come here, have fellowship Friday night, all the youth fellowship back, QF, Clay, Pathfinders, the Cantonese youth fellowship. But the church is more than just having fellowship, worship, praise together. We come here to share, to support each other, to enjoy the presence of our Lord, fellowship, worship. But our purpose is also to go out and be a messenger. So when we finish the benediction every Sunday here, part of the benediction is to send you out. The benediction is not just to fill you with God's blessing and then you'll be so full, you'll be in, that's enough blessing for the remaining week, and then you come back and receive more blessing. Yes, that's part of it. But it's also for you to bring this blessing to the outside world. Bring people to your fellowship. Our fellowship is so sweet, but we don't like other people to come, and then we'll dilute our closeness. No, we want people to see how sweet this fellowship is. The reason I became a Christian is when I was in university. There was my first year engineering, that's my second year at UBC. In those days, it was a five-year program. And then there was a club stay, one lunch hour. So I walked by many booths, there are many clubs trying to recruit members. And then I saw one club, it's a Christian club. So I got recruited. I just want to see what they are doing. And then I found something that really amazed me is how close they are together, how much they love one another that I don't see in other groups. So I started joining them, and it's always their love and their openness that attracted me. And then through that Christian club, I became a Christian. So our fellowship here is not a close fellowship. We want to invite people to our worship, to our fellowship. Maybe not to our prayer meeting yet, but to our barbecue, definitely, to our summer camps. So we want to be a missional church. A missional church is not, the opposite of a missional church is an institutional church, where everybody come here and take and receive, and take and receive, but do not give out. And then we just rely on the pastoral staff to do all the evangelism. We come here to take. God sent them out, starting with a little commission, small commission. They sent out 12 of them to announce that Jesus is the Lord. The church exists, in other words, for what we sometimes call mission. Mission is not just about what Hudson Taylor was doing, going to faraway countries, but mission is to announce to the world, to our community, in your school, that Jesus is the Lord. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We start with the people that we are comfortable to share the gospel first, and then we go out to the whole world. But Jesus did not just send them out bare hand. Now, just go out there and reach to your own people, to the Israelites, because they have no credentials. These are not people, these 12 disciples, they are not people with high status in their community, with power, wealth. These are just common, normal people. So when they go to their own people, there are religious leaders there, wealthy people, people with power. So how would they listen to these 12 disciples? So Jesus gave them authority, power. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Wow, okay. Even today, pastors don't have this power. Cleanse the lepers. Lepers in those days is not a curable sickness, disease. Kind of like our COVID today. We can try to prevent, but like cancer, we're getting better with protecting ourselves from the COVID, but it's still not, we don't have a medicine. Again, okay, you know, you drink this, the COVID will go away in 3 days. You know, we people still die. We still get sick. Cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. I don't have that much experience in casting out demons. I only done this once. But for the disciples, Jesus gave them this authority: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. Now, in today, we have modern medicine. No, we can heal the sick. We not raise the dead. Right? Cleanse the leprosy is curable. Even TB is curable. But in those days, you die. You live in isolation if you're lepers. But Jesus gave them the authority. And before Jesus gave them the authority, we need to go back to chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9. And the whole chapter, Jesus was demonstrating to them this authority that he's going to give to them. I don't know, it's the next day or right after that in chapter 10. In verse 9, Jesus has demonstrated all this authority that he's going to give to the disciples. There are people who cannot walk, paralytic, lying on the bed. And Jesus asked them, get up, pick up your bed and go home. Jesus did this and demonstrated this to the disciple himself. Now, this power is not just textbook, not just maybe. I show it to you. It works because the power is from me. There was a little girl who just died. And the family asked, you know, if you lay hand, ask Jesus, if you lay hand on her, she will live. And Jesus entered the room, took the girl's hand, and the girl got up from death. And there was a woman with 12, suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years. And Jesus healed this woman. Two people came to Jesus, cannot see. And Jesus said, no, if you have faith, your eyes will be opened. Jesus opened, give them back their vision. There one person who was possessed by the demon, chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, verse 32, possessed by the demon, I cannot talk. Jesus cast out the demons, and he was healed. So the entire chapter 9 of Matthew is about Jesus showing them this power. It's not from man, it's from heaven, from God. No one else can have this power, authority to heal, to cast out a demon. And then in chapter 10, when Jesus sent them out, Jesus said that, I'm going to give you all this power and authority. So that when you go and preach, proclaim the gospel, people may not believe you, but when they see the power, they will believe. Well, I wish we have this power today. If I can have this power today, I'm sure you can have this power today. I'm sure I have no problem sharing the gospel. If I can heal the sick, I go there and I touch anybody, you know, the COVID will go away. I'm sure people will come to the church, right? But how come we don't have this power? Today, we have even greater power than what Jesus gave to the 12 disciples today. Today, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, if you remember Pentecost, the day of the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them, poured upon them. They were filled by the Holy Spirit. My topic next sermon. When they fill with the Holy Spirit, they are empowered by the Spirit. This is one of the three emphases of the Alliance Church, Christ Center, and empowered by the Spirit. Today we have more power than those 12 disciples have received. We have the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Holy Spirit that's empowering us. It's just that we don't trust the Holy Spirit. It's that powerful. Last month, actually 4 weeks ago, to be exact, 4 weeks ago, the church was about to close on Sunday. I checked around the church, no one else in the church. So I walked in the sanctuary, there's a couple there, and there's Pastor Stephen. They've been talking until 1:30. I said, okay, time to leave. This couple, the wife, they're both new immigrants to Canada, to our church. They came last year. The wife is a very devoted new Christian, very active in the church. And she's always been telling me that, you know, her husband is not a Christian. So what should I do? So I saw them there. So I went up to him. I said, you know, you should be a Christian. And then they said, yeah, I will be a Christian. Okay. Then let me share with you the gospel before you can become a Christian. So in 5 minutes time, so I led him to accept Christ. So we pray together, 1, 2, 3, 4 of us. It's very easy, simple, but it is not easy, simple, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is all entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. I did nothing. Today, we have more power than those 12 disciples have received on that day. Today, God is with us. It's God's message. God is using us only as a vessel today. God himself doing the proclaiming. Isn't that more powerful than the ability to heal the sick, to raise the dead? Freely you received, freely you give. Evangelism is witness. It is one beggar telling another beggar where to get food. We receive this all by grace. We receive the gospel by grace. We did not earn it. We did nothing to earn the gospel, the salvation. Freely we receive, freely we should give it out. We're just like beggars. Don't keep this to yourself. And don't worry. Knowing that God gave you the power, God will provide you all the needs. Do not acquire gold, silver, copper for your money belts. Do not even bring two coats. I don't know. I guess that's not really cold there, I presume. Two pair of shoes, sandals or staff for the workers worthy of his support. Okay, so we don't have to support the mission. God will provide. Well, we don't have to offer any more money to mission fund. No, don't get this mixed up. Jesus talking about the ones being sent. The IW, the missionaries, the workers, do not worry about the financial needs, things you need. But do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? Jesus is telling the one being sent, don't worry about the support. He's not talking about the one sending them. That's the rest of us. For the ones being sent, don't worry. But for the ones who are sending, that's us, you have to provide their needs. Don't say that God will provide. We are God's custodians, servants. We have to provide their needs. So we have to provide the needs of our missionaries, church staff, pastors. So Jesus is not telling us, no, they don't need any gold or silver. No, he said that you don't have to worry, the ones being sent, but the ones sending them, that's us. We have to provide them. So don't worry if God sends you out to mission. God will provide. God's work done in God's way will never let God supply. You probably know that I don't talk much about money at church. I'm more concerned that whether we are doing God's work here. I'm more worried about that we could not find enough people to do God's work. I'm more worried that we could not find people who are willing to commit their life to Jesus. I'm more worried that there's not enough IWs, while then we don't have enough money to support them. When we are doing God's work in God's way, we'll never lack God's supply. God will provide if God sends you out. We have to be equipped, just like those disciples. Jesus spent 3 years personally, small group, discipleship training. Well, that's truly disciples training, before he sent them out to a small little mission. How much we have to prepare to go out to the Great Commission. So I encourage all of you to equip yourself, study God's Word, pick the ETI course, Kairos, any training. The more you train, the more opportunities you can have. And don't worry about people rejecting your gospel. Whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Don't worry about them. People will scorn us, scold at us, ignore our gospel, make fun of us. That's what the world is doing. Don't worry. They don't know what they are missing. We have eternal life. And those poor people, they think that they know what they're doing, but actually they are not. So if people reject your gospel, just go to what Jesus said, go to another house. Not that we don't like these people, but don't waste your time. There are people who are willing, waiting to hear this gospel. So what is our problem today? Our church has been training people. We've been preaching about this topic. We've been equipping Kairos ETI interface. We have been going all kinds of training. We want to be a missional church, but yet I don't feel like going out. Chapter 9, the chapter before. Seeing the people, he felt compassion. for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus then said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Jesus saw the people like sheep without a shepherd. He has compassion for them. That's something I think we lack today. And without that compassion, our church cannot be a missional church. We can all come here as a consumer, as a good worship, good singing, good pianist, right? Good one-man worship team, good fellowship, Friday night. Everything is good. And then I go back home and do my things, and then next week I'll come and receive more. Without this compassion, seeing people are lost out there, we cannot be a missional church. We have to have compassion with the people and invite them to come to this worship, to come to our fellowships, to come to our community, come to eat with us, come to join our picnics, camps, whatever. 1912, April 15, that's the day that when the Titanic hit the iceberg. There were estimated close to 3,547 people, passengers and crew on the ship. It is its maiden voyage. As we all know, probably watched the movie. How many of you have seen the movie? So it's a really great movie. No one from this side? Oh, so go and watch the movie. It's a really good movie. 3,500 people on board. Only 706 people survived on the ocean. They were all on the safe lifeboats because there were not enough lifeboats. There were only 20 of them. But even the 20 lifeboats, they have a capacity of 1,178. If you don't overfill it, I'm sure you can put it in the field. It's not going to sink. You add one more person. So there were capacity for 1,178 people. But how come only 706 people survive? Because, I mean, you don't need to be an engineer to calculate this. Because there were 400 empty seats on the lifeboat. What? 400, almost half the boats are empty? So if you search the internet, they're very detailed. The whole incident, the tragedy was all very fully detailed. There's even a special website. They even recorded the name of each person on each boat. At 12:45, they launched the boat number 7. Supposed to be able to sit 65 people, but there are only 28 people, 43%. 10 minutes later, they lowered in second boat, boat number 5. 65 seats, only 36 people were on it, half empty. 12:55, the same time, boat number 6, only 28 people on it, 44%. 5 minutes later, boat number 3, only 49% full. At the same time, they lower boat number 1. Even worse, only 30%. Only 12 people on it. So what's going on? One-third, almost, of the boats were empty. So there are many reasons I read. Some of them, a lot of people did not believe that Titanic would sink. So they think it's safer to be on this huge metal hulk than on that tiny little boat. But when they are in the water, then it's too late. So they all swim towards the lifeboat, try to get onto the lifeboat. And the water temperature that night was recorded at -2. And most people can only survive 15 to 30 minutes before they have cardiac arrest. So most of them die of cardiac arrest. Most people don't last more than 20 minutes. So they all want to get on the lifeboat. So where are the lifeboats with all the empty seats? Well, they're all staying away from the people. So there's a record that, recording said that the people were screaming in the cold water, crying for help, yelling, but they're just staying away from them. But they worry if they get close to them, the bowl will be overturned. How sad this is. And only 20 bowls, only three are full. The other, well, two of them flip over. The rest are not maybe half seated. They were there waiting and waiting. And eventually, when all the crying died off, two or three bowls did go back without they feel safe. But then most of the people, bowl number four did head back. But at that time, they only rescued a few people, and many of those died afterwards because it's too cold. How sad this is. I mean, you can imagine this, how these people will feel sitting on a lifeboat, right? Watching all these people dying, crying, right? And they have empty seats on their lifeboats. We have empty seats in our church here, lots of empty seats. And in God's kingdom, there's unlimited seats in God's kingdom, empty seats in God's kingdom. People out there, they're actually crying for help, especially in this pandemic. With the turmoil in the world, people are crying. You may not hear, but you can see it. People are crying in their heart. They're looking for a savior. They're looking for an eternal salvation. They're looking for peace. You may not hear it, but it's in their heart. We have this peace, love that we are enjoying here. We have lots of seats Friday night. We have lots of empty seats here in our church. We have unlimited seats in God's kingdom. But it is as Christ's messenger. We have to go out. We have to roll our lifeboat to them. But they don't know where the lifeboats are. So it is our job, brothers and sisters. God has given us the authority under heaven, the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us the little and the great commission to go out. God is with us. Where is your compassion? So let's roll our bow out. We come to church to receive freely. Freely received, freely give. We need to bring people into the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, our hearts are touched. You have given us this mandate to share the gospel, to proclaim that the kingdom is here. 2,000 years ago, you have given us the power, the authority of this gospel. You have given us the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, let us not enjoy this fellowship in our lifeboat here by ourselves, but roll out our boat to rescue more crying souls so that the gospel can be preached to the ends of the world as you have commanded us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Norman, for the message.